Hey, New Life Church, we're in this series, Clickbait, and we were going to finish it last week. But I heard from my daughter, Haley, and she said, Pastor Chris Hodges, our guest speaker for today, my best friend, one of the overseers of our church, he was speaking last weekend on the topic of depression. And she said, Dad, this really helped a lot of people. And I started thinking about it. For 30 years, I've never preached on that topic. I talked to Chris about it. He had never spoken on it either until last weekend. And so I thought it would be good to bring this topic into our series, Clickbait, because many of you have dealt with depression or you have a friend that has. So I'm asking all of you for your mind to be alert, for your heart to be receptive, because we're never going to be the same. So all of you, please welcome my friend, Pastor Chris Hodges.
Hey, come on, give Jesus a great praise, everybody. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, give Jesus a great praise. It's awesome. Y'all be seated. That's awesome. Thank you. God bless you guys. Oh, don't stop. All right, God bless you. Y'all be seated. What a joy it is to be here, and I do love, do you love your pastor, everybody? Come on, nobody like Pastor Rick and Michelle, and they have been friends. If you're new to the church, they've been friends of ours for over 30 years, and love them, and love their leadership. And Pastor Rick is actually ministering at an ARC church plant out in California today, and will be home very soon. Got to be home soon, because I think there's another grandbaby on the way for the BZ family coming up, and they're excited about it right over here. All right. In fact, how many grandparents in the room? Grandparents, raise your hand. Come on, all the campuses, yeah? There you are. All of us would tell you, I'm a grandparent now, all of us would tell you that it's awesome. It's just like the best thing ever. Can I get a good amen from the grandparents? Yeah, it's awesome. So for those of you guys who don't have grandkids, don't kill your kids. Better ones are coming, all right? Just hang in there. Just hang in there. Just don't kill them. In fact, I'm traveling today with my son, my oldest son, and my daughter-in-law, and they just 2.5 months ago gave birth to my third grandson. I just last week had my fourth grandson, and in December going to have my fifth grandson. So I have a daughter and four boys. That's the kids I had, a daughter, then four boys, and now five grandsons. We've had 9 boys in a row. We ain't seen a girl in 29 years, y'all. It's incredible. In fact, I brought a picture. Show them the picture of this is my newest grandson. Got hair 3 inches long, and this is my son David. Show them this next picture. This is my son David and him holding his little son Riser. And we thought this picture was real cute, and then we said, "Son, you don't hold babies like that." And so we taught him, and then there he is the right way. So anyway, yeah, so pretty fun. I'm thrilled to be here today, obviously, and it's an honor to serve as part of your church government in the role of overseer. That means I try to look after Pastor Rick and Michelle and just all things New Life, pray for you every day. You don't see me but about once a year, but I pray for you very often. I know everything that's going on around here, and kind of look deep into, especially to your pastor, to make sure he's happy and healthy, and he pretty much is all the time. And I love him with all of my heart. He and I talk several times a week, and you are led extremely well. I'm just happy to report, take my word for it, that all things New Life are healthy and strong, and your pastors have more vision than they've had in a long time. In fact, and come on, let's give God praise. Come on, are you glad for your church? Yep. So one more thing before we get into God's word, and that is today we are planting some more churches. A lot of you guys know that Pastor Rick and I and 3 other people joined together 17 years ago to form an organization called the Association of Related Churches. And basically, it's just a church planting organization where now hundreds, over 800 churches pool their resources together to plant churches all across America. A New Life and Church of the Highlands were the first 2 churches ever planted with ARC. We were kind of the prototypes almost 18 years ago. And look what the Lord has done. And we have now today, check it out, your generosity, your giving goes toward this every week. But today, come on, everybody say today. Today, 21 new churches in America being planted. Come on, today. And yeah, I mean, from from Boise, Idaho to a small town in Florida, there are churches being planted all over America today, and you were a part of that. So your giving is going places you'll never physically go. You'll have to wait till you get to heaven to see the fruit of all that you do around here, and I just want to celebrate that together. Last week, I did a message. We're in a series where we're kind of answering some of the questions that our people have been asking just about life. And I did start off our series with this message on depression. And in 35 years of ministry, I've never done a message entirely dedicated to that topic, which forced me to actually study on the topic a lot. And I don't really consider myself an expert. Let me say that right off the bat. I am not a counselor or a doctor. I'm a pastor. And so I lead people to Jesus. I do believe Jesus is the answer for everything. And can I get a better amen, anybody? And I really believe that. But I did want to look at it from a medical standpoint, find out what's really going on. Here's what I discovered, and that is depression is a mood disorder characterized by what they call anhedonia. Anhedonia, if you don't know that term, it means that you cannot experience pleasure anymore. So what used to be bring you pleasure, you have the inability to experience any pleasure in relationships, in vacations, in food, and like I've lost the sense of pleasure, extreme sadness, poor concentration, sleep problems, loss of appetite, and feelings of guilt, helplessness, and hopelessness. And when I read this, I thought, well, man, that's everybody, right? I mean, everybody, I'm on that list somewhere, right? All of us have experienced these things, and really I've come to the conclusion, my conclusion after about a 3-week intensive study on the topic is that it is the number one health problem in the world. Like in the world, it is the number one health problem. Found out that 1 out of every 9 people are on some type of depression medication right now. So 1 out of 5 have been at some point in their life. In fact, antidepressant medication has gone up 300% and continues to climb. I'm convinced it's become the number one health problem in the world, mental illness. Now, one of the things that I've discovered through this is that there's a stigma on even the talk about it. So if I came to you today and said, I'm not feeling that great, I think I have a cold, you don't think any less of me because some part of my body is dysfunctional or sick. But when the brain gets dysfunctional or sick, and if we talk about mental illness, it's like, wait, there's something really wrong with you, and it's almost a stigma against it. And I personally believe that's a trick of the devil, because if he can put a stigma around it, he can keep people from talking about it, receiving prayer on it, getting help by it, because then you begin to tuck and hide around it because we believe it's not cool to have that kind of a problem. I'm here to tell you that, in fact, if I have a single message, it's this one, show it to them, guys, that it's okay to not be okay. So it's okay for you not to be okay. In fact, even on Sunday, you don't have to come to church and put your Sunday best on and then your Sunday smile and your Sunday like, how you doing? Well, yeah, everything's fine. How about you? Yeah, I'm doing pretty good too. And you're not, right? Or if you're in Christian circles, how you doing? Well, praise the Lord. Everything's good. Hallelujah. You're right? You know, you say those. And then, but you beat your kids all the way to church. You know, you're hitting them the whole way in, right? And then you told them in the parking lot. Now everybody smile, and we'll deal with this when we get back home. You know, listen to me. We've got to get to the place where we really talk about what's really going on in our lives, so we can let God do a great work on the inside of us in Jesus' name. And in fact, I did a lot of study. I read this guy, and if you want to go read his books or look at he's done some TED talks. This guy named Stephen Lardy, he said this about it. He says we were never designed for the sedentary. Sedentary means stay inside, kind of in front of your computer all day, would be a modern application of that. Indoor, socially isolated. And you, by the way, you can be isolated and alone with people all around you. So I'm not talking about proximity. I'm talking about how you feel on the inside. A lot of people, you're around people all the time, but you still feel isolated. We have a fast food laden, sleep deprived, frenzied pace of modern life. None of us were designed for this. And I've come to the conclusion that, like, this is what's going on. He's convinced that all depression is not inherent. In other words, it's not just your DNA or something wrong on the inside, that it is lifestyle related. So it's happening because of the way we live. Since it's happening because of the way we live, we can fix it by the way we live.
We can let God teach us some new principles. And listen to me, I'm going to try to keep this light, but there's really not much light about this topic, because the truth is, there are some of us in here right now with a fake smile on dealing with depression, and it hurts. And it's really, a lot of it's because we've fallen prey to these kind of lifestyles, including things like cell phone and social media use. I've discovered, and they've discovered by research, that our cell phone use and really all things digital are actually reforming the brains. So there's studies out, I'm not talking about Christian, I'm talking about secular studies out that are showing that just looking at our cell phones and spending so much time on social media, that the brain is actually changing. You add to that the epidemic of a lack of identity in culture, so people don't know who they are. In fact, with those who have sexual confusion, depression goes up 200%. Just because they're confused. I don't know who I am, what I believe, what my orientation is, and it goes way up from that. Then you have added to that the inability to process pain. So all of us are experiencing pain. The question is, what are you doing about it when you get it? So we usually, what the go-to now, of course, is medication. We have a whole generation that is overly medicated, or they're medicating through even binge eating or binge drinking to try to soothe the pain away. Then you add to that peer-to-peer mentoring, meaning that we're getting our advice from those who are in the same condition as us, where the generation before us, you would always find someone older than you to get advice from. By the way, that needs to come back. Can I get a better amen from New Life Church? Elder to youth mentoring is biblical, where when you went through something or wanted to purchase something or wanted to deal with something, you actually found somebody who's maybe 20 years ahead of you to get the advice from them. But we don't have that anymore. I'm telling you, if I'd have listened to all the 15-year-olds I grew up with, I would not be standing on this stage right now. Right? That's how ridiculous that is. And then you add to that just a complete narcissistic culture, this selfie kind of a generation we live in, this obsession with self, I think is what's creating all of this. It's lifestyle related, and it can be fixed in Jesus' name. Let me touch one area before we get into God's word, and that is some people unfortunately choose suicide as a solution. And it's tragic. In fact, there will be 1 million people this year who will commit suicide worldwide. 40,000 in America alone. That's 110 a day in America are going to take their own lives. It's a growing epidemic, of course, as well. It's the number one killer of kids 15 to 24. It's twice the murder rate. So we spend a lot of time talking about how to prevent crime. I think it's time for the church to be the most outspoken voice and solution to those who think. Come on, isn't that right, everybody? Isn't that right? And I want you to look in my eyes. Come on, every campus that's joining us, I want you to hear this. And one of the things that has to happen in order for us to get past this is the ability to remove the stigma from it. It's got to be okay for us to say, hey, I'm not okay. And I need to talk about it. And nobody's shocked by that. In fact, honestly, for those of you who convince yourself that you're the only one going through what you're going through, if you had the guts to tell somebody else in this room, they're not going to go, they're going to go, what, you too? I thought I was the only one. You're going to discover that really all of us, including the ones that are on the stage here, just got in this hospital a little bit ahead of you. We have our own nicks and scrapes and loose screws. Can I get a better amen from anybody who knows that's true, right? Unfortunately, though, suicide is a permanent, irreversible attempt to solve a very temporary problem. The emotions come crashing in like a wave. They overwhelm you, and then we try to do something about it that unfortunately becomes very permanent and very irreversible. Most people don't want to die. They just want the pain to end. But I've got good news for you, and that is you don't have to die to end your pain. I want somebody to hear that might be at the point where I feel like my life would be better. This is what they tell themselves. My life would be better. Even my family would be better off if I were not here. That's a lie. It's just not true. And one of the most outspoken spiritual voices, pastors in the nation, is a pastor that you should go check out if you've ever dealt with this, are dealing with this in any way, and just want more than what I'm going to give you in a few minutes here today. And that's Pastor Rick Warren at Saddleback Church in California. His own son, who had mental illness his whole life, took his life 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. Of course, Pastor Rick and Kay are now very outspoken on the topic. And one of the things they suggest, and I just want to throw this out there to you, I pass this on to our church, and then you could see people jotting this number down, because they offer this number, this National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, this 1-800-273-TALK is the number. In case you ever know somebody who is dealing with that, please recommend to them. From what I've told from Pastor Rick, this is actually saving a lot of lives. It's a lot of lives. And I just want to be a voice of encouragement to you today, and I want to try to bring some normalcy to this topic today and tell you that God's not silent on it either. In fact, some of the greatest people of faith in Scripture were depressed. Some of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, some of the greatest leaders in the New Testament dealt with depression. And I think these verses are in there on purpose so that you can say, hey, God's not shocked by it, and God even has a solution to it. One of the guys, a prophet named Jeremiah, wrote a whole book of your Bible about his depression. He called it Lamentations. That's just a fancy way to say, I'm having a bad life right now, right? And one of the verses in Lamentations goes like this. He says, I've been deprived of peace. See if this sounds familiar to you at all. I have forgotten, and that's a key word, by the way, I've forgotten what prosperity is. We sang it today in our worship time, and I thought, man, what a great song. God is so good. And chances are a bunch of you sang it, not really feeling it, but you just chose to sing it so that you can believe it again. That's what worship is, by the way. Worship is this process where your problems are huge and your God is small, and God is so good, God is so good, God is, and your God gets big again and your problems get small again. Every Sunday we put our problems back in their proper place. Come on, somebody, right? That's what worship really is. But he says, I've forgotten what prosperity is, so I say, my splendor is gone and all that I've hoped for in the Lord. Watch this. He says, so I remember, and this is his problem, I am remembering my affliction and my wandering. The psychologists call that ruminating. Go study it. It's an interesting concept, because they say there's actually this thing that's happening in front of our computers by ourselves. And psychologists call it ruminating. Ruminating is what animals like cows do when they chew, swallow, regurgitate it, chew it again, swallow, regurgitate it, chew it again. And by the way, the more times you bring it back up, the grosser it gets. And we do that in our thoughts. We're ruminating. So we start thinking by ourselves about how we feel about our family. And then the more we chew on it and swallow it and regurgitate it, the worse it gets, and we start lying to ourselves. It's called self-talk. And it's okay to feel bad about things. It's not okay for you to have that conversation by yourself. I'm trying to help you guys today. Are y'all all right, everybody? Everybody breathe in, breathe out. It's, yeah, okay. So I'm just sitting here thinking about my affliction and my wandering, my bitterness and my gall, and I well remember them. And he says, and my soul got downcast. Well, of course it did. What'd you think was going to happen when you're going to sit there and think about that? That's why I honor you again today. Every location, every person who came to this great church, 17 locations, come on, think about it, got together today to sing songs about what we believe. Why? Because we're trying to get away from the ruminating self-talk we've had all week long and put our God back on his proper place. Paul did the same thing, by the way, in the New Testament, just to give you a New Testament example. And he said in 2 Corinthians, he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. And I don't want you to be uninformed either, that even great people, great leaders go through depression. And Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, got depressed about the troubles he experienced in the province of Asia. Watch this. He says, I was under great pressure, far beyond my ability to endure, that I wanted to die. I was despairing of life. And that's literally, he was saying, I don't think I can live anymore. I don't think I can take this anymore. And I thank God that God included in Holy Scripture a great leader saying, look, it was tough for me sometimes too. And again, if you hear anything today, it's just that we've got to bring something that has had a stigma We got to keep mental illness. I mean, it's okay for my heart to be sick, but I can't have my head being sick. No, no, no. That's an organ of your body, too, that God can heal in Jesus' name, and there really isn't any difference. Amen, everybody? So let me finish today's message with a story that gives you four causes, four solutions. That if you ever find yourself depressed or know somebody who is, this story kind of summarizes it all together. In 1 Kings chapter 18, the great prophet Elijah had one of the best stories ever happened in Scripture, where he had a showdown with 400 prophets of the devil called prophets of Baal. They had this spiritual showdown to determine whose God was alive. And so what they did, they both, Elijah and then these other prophets of Baal, had created altars, killed animals, and they said, let's both call out to our God and see which God shows up. So the prophets of Baal, they cried out, did whatever prophets of Baal do, and nothing happened. And then Elijah said, hey, just to show you my God is awesome, let's soak our altar and our sacrifice completely in water. Let's make it where it cannot physically burn. And of course, the power of God came down and consumed by fire this water-soaked sacrifice. It was a great victory. Well, this evil king Ahab and his queen Jezebel found out about it and said this in the next chapter. He says, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Watch this. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah. Now watch, remember, he just stood face to face to 400 men. And now this one woman says to Elijah, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow you're not going to be as dead as they are. I'm going to kill you. This one woman posed an empty threat, by the way, which was a complete lie. There was no way possible for Jezebel to kill Elijah, watch this, but he believed it. So he could stand face to face with all these prophets of Baal, and one empty threat put him on the run. By the way, let me teach you something right there. A lot of depression doesn't come in your lowest of lows. It comes many times after your highest of highs. So I was pretty transparent with my church last Sunday. I'll be pretty transparent with you as well. I get more attacked by the devil on Sunday nights than any other time of the week. We could have tens of thousands of people show up to church, hundreds saved, and I'll go home and obsess over one sentence I wish I wouldn't have said in my message, and the devil bring all these empty threats that people are going to get mad about that, and they're not going to have liked that, and you're going to hear this, you're going to get this, and none of it's ever true, but I'm telling you, the enemy will try to find even your highest of highs sometimes when you let down your guard to attack you. And Elijah, the Bible says, ran, he was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba, now watch the details, in Judah, he left his servant there. In other words, he said to the guy he was traveling with, I don't want you coming with me. I want to deal with this by myself. Bad move, Elijah. Bad move. You don't ever need to process this stuff by yourself. You are the last person you should be getting counseling from whenever you're in a bad place. That's good preaching right there. I don't care what y'all say, right? No, he said, you stay here. I need to process this by myself. No, you don't. No, you don't. And while he himself went a day's journey by himself into the wilderness, he came to a broom brush, sat down under it. That's a little short tree that could provide some shade. And he prayed that he might die. And he says, Lord, I have had enough. Come on, how many of y'all, that's your theme verse right now, right? I have had enough. Take my life. Now watch this last line. I am no better than my ancestors. Why in the world was he thinking about other people at that point? And Elijah did four things that I'm going to tell you will put you in a bad place. And the first is faulty thinking. You start believing lies. And again, this faulty thinking comes from this ruminating. I'm encouraging you not to have self-talk and not to sit by yourself. All the research is showing that a lot of the depression is coming from when we're alone, thinking and letting that thinking be swallowed, regurgitated, brought back up in a much grosser form. And whenever we're having these sedentary inside lives, in fact, they've proven that when you're around people and when you're outside and we have sunlight, that the mental illness and depression goes down dramatically. So we know this was, he was doing all the wrong things. He was thinking bad thoughts. And again, I'm preaching to the choir today because you chose to come to a place. And it, and for some of you, it took a lot of effort. And some of you even wonder why you do it all the time. And you need to keep doing it regardless of how you feel. Get to church, get to church, get to church, get to church. Hey, everybody, get to church. Why? Because you're going to get in here and you're going to hear the words of life. And people are going to encourage you. And that's why the Bible says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, lovely, pure, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, show them the next verse, guys, the next slide. Think about these things. You ask what you need to be thinking about. And if you do, the God of peace will be with you. I believe that's going to happen today just because you decided to come to church and you weren't sure who God was. But then we sang, God is so good. And then this crazy guy from this LSU guy from Alabama. Why the Lord, why in the world did he put me in Alabama, y'all? Help me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm in the enemy territory. Jesus, help me, Lord God. All right. No, just to encourage you today and just to tell you, man, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Hey, everybody, you're going to make it. But you're not going to make it if you do this second thing that Elijah did, and that is that he isolated himself. So that's why we're a church of groups. So let me say it this way. Life groups here at New Life Church are not for your entertainment. They are a necessity. Because right now, you can still come in this place on a Sunday, smile, sing, and leave, and never said a word to someone. But that's not going to happen in a group. No, we're going to get there and say, hey, what's going on? Well, I'm doing pretty good. No, you're not. Tell me the truth. No, really, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. No, I can tell you're lying. Honey, lock the door. He's not leaving until he tells us what's going on. Because groups aren't another little mini Bible study. That's not a place for you to have a smaller church service. Groups are hopefully the place where you get close enough to somebody where you have the guts to take off the mask and say, can I tell you what's really going on? That's what I have in your pastor, by the way. He calls. That's the phone call I get on Sunday nights. Hey, Chris, what's going on? I'm doing great. Yeah, I know the devil's talking to you right now. What's really going on? Because you've already told me that you struggle on Sunday nights. Yeah, I know. And then I encourage him too. Yeah, just, yeah, how are you doing, Rick? Yeah, I'm doing good. Because he's always happy, right? He's just always happy. But is he really? Only I know, y'all, all right? And I'm not telling y'all, all right? So what are we doing? We're doing the reality of Ecclesiastes. It says, a person standing alone can be attacked and, say the next word out loud, and... Yeah, you try it by yourself. Good luck to you. But two, that's what Rick and I do. We stand back to back. He's looking this way while I look that way, right? And we conquer. And three are even better. Get in a group, get in a group, get in a group. Hey, everybody, get in a group. Get in a group. Find a group. Get in a group. Here's my message for you. Get in a group. All right, get in a group. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You get some other people around your life, you're going to be okay. Why? Because I'm with somebody who I can say, hey, I'm not doing so well. I got your back. I've got your back. I'm going to stand back to back. And then the next time they're going down, you're like, okay, I'm doing better now. I got your back. I've got your back. Third thing that Elijah did is he felt so bad about his life and what he had done and how he was running and acting like a coward. He was literally being led by feelings. This is one of my favorite things to preach. Because the whole world is validating feelings. Now, listen to me. Feelings are real, they're just not true. I'm going to say that again. Feelings are real, they're just not accurate. Please do not listen to your feelings. Do not live by your feelings. Don't trust your feelings. Your emotions will go up and down with everything in the world going on. Do not be led by them. We are the people of God. We are led by facts. We are led by truth. And even when culture goes through things, well, if it feels good, do it. No, it doesn't. No. In fact, if it feels good, you probably need to ask a question about it and make sure you don't do it. Isn't that right, everybody? We live by a set of truths, and it's the truth. Jesus said, you need to know the truth, not your feelings, because it's the truth that will set you free. And the final thing, so after he basically had bad thinking, isolated, was too feelings-based, he finally said, well, I'm really no better than somebody else. What in the world is he playing the comparison game for? I'm going to tell you why it happens in this generation. I got one word for you, Instagram. Can I get a better amen from anybody who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, because you see everybody's highlight reel all the time. You compare your miserable days with their highlight reel. You look at somebody's newly remodeled kitchen, then you look over at yours, it's all messed up, right? And then you go borrow money that you do not have to keep up with that person. Listen, we gotta get out of the comparison game. And as Paul said, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? He said, no, of course not. He says, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. No, I live for an audience of one. Can I get a good amen, somebody? I have to tell you, for the sake of time, I have to tell you most of the rest of the story. I'll read you a few verses, because basically it says he laid down under that brush tree. Come on, there's a little preach in this. And he fell asleep. The first thing that happened to solve Elijah's depression, listen to me, wasn't spiritual. It was natural. Let me say it another way. He took a nap. Come on, y'all, I'm helping you out. Men, I'm helping y'all out. You know, honey, I know I told you I was going to mow that grass today, but that pastor came in and said, it's the word of the Lord that I take it. Come on, man, I'm on your side. Help me out, all right? He fell asleep, watch this, and an angel showed up, not at church, in his nap. Come on, I'm helping y'all out today. And he touched him, and look what the angel said. He didn't say open your Bible or pray, no. He said get up and go. Now the men are like, yeah, I love this new pastor here. He's a good man there. And he looked around, and by his head was some bread. Come on, all you paleo people. This is the word of the Lord, right? Right here. Tell me about protein. The Bible says bread. It doesn't say butter, but I am sure it's in the text somewhere, all right? And he ate and drank. Look what he did. And he took another nap. Come on, y'all, this is your prescription for this afternoon. This is the word of the Lord. And the angel, show them the next verse, of the Lord came and back a second time, touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and he ate and he drank. And he strengthened by food. I think that's so interesting. He traveled 40 days, 40 nights till he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Now he's going to have a spiritual encounter with God. And he went into the cave for a night. And you have to read through verse 19 to get the rest of the story. For the sake of the time, let me tell it to you. Because after he actually spent that time with God, God showed himself powerfully in earth, wind, and fire. And then he came. Y'all thought that was a music group. That's in the Bible. And then he came in a still, small voice, and then he gave him a set of instructions. And here's the first thing. And that is, we four things we see as a solution. I'm giving it to you for every person who's depressed or ever will be. You got to get healthy physically. Yeah, slow down a little bit. Listen to me, you gotta take more naps, eat more bread, and then take another nap. Now, I'm very serious here. I'm playing around a little bit, but I'm gonna be very serious here. When you Sabbath, what you've done today, you've come to church, give God the whole day. So go take a walk, put on a golf tournament, and then don't watch any of it, right, everybody? Sleep through the whole thing. Because in vain, the psalm says, you rise early and stay up late toiling for food. But God grants sleep to those he loves. God's trying to slow you down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And if you don't lie down, he'll make you lie down. Hey, everybody, look at my eyes. Slow down. Don't follow the world's rhythm. Slow down. And the second thing that he did is he poured his heart out to God. I would add, it's important not only to pour your heart out to God, but also pour your heart out to others. Somebody needs to know how you feel. And by the way, God can handle how you feel. God was not shocked by Elijah's complaints. So Elijah actually starts lying. Well, I'm the only one that's serving you. Well, no, that's certainly not true, Elijah. But God let him say that to him. And you, listen to me, God invites you to healing today. Jesus said it this way, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest, not just for your body, but also for your soul, that your soul could be at rest. Thank you for coming to church today. But listen to me, it's important for us to pour our hearts out to God and our souls out to God. And I even submit it's important to pour it out with a small group of people where you can be honest and say, look, this is what I'm going through. All right, that's okay. It's okay. And then remember, he had the earth, wind, and fire. God came in an earthquake, came in a strong wind, then he came in a fire, then in a still small voice. And that shows us, number three, how important it is to experience both God's power and God's presence. They're very different. But God, our God is a powerful, awesome, consuming, earthquake, wind, and fire kind of God. But he's also that still small voice. And I'm encouraging you to turn the world's volume down and give God some space. Some of you need to get aside today and just maybe go take a walk through the neighborhood, or maybe go get a lawn chair underneath a tree and feel the breeze come across your face and just have some time with God. You don't have to King James God. You just need to be honest with God. The Bible says, be still and know. As if it's saying, you'll never know until you're still. Well, I don't know where God is because you're moving too fast. Oh, I can't hear God. Yeah, because there's too many competing voices. Am I preaching to anybody today? Are y'all all right? I'm just trying to help you. Just give you exactly the prescription that Elijah got. And here's the last one, and we're going to pray. But God gave him a new set of instructions. And we've got to let God give us a new purpose and a new direction for our life. The last thing you read in that text is, he said, hey, go anoint this person. Now go anoint this person. And go get Elisha and make him your protege. Go pour your life into another person. And I'm going to tell you, it's a real secret. That the real secret to overcoming depression, listen to me, is to have something in your life bigger than your problems. Let me say it this way. You can try to solve your problems if you want, or you can have something in your life bigger than your problems. And Paul said it this way. He says, we don't lose heart. Well, how, Paul? Even though I'm outwardly wasting away, inwardly I'm being renewed. How, Paul? How are you doing that? Oh, I'll tell you, my light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory, eternal glory that far outweighs them. In other words, I have something eternal that I'm living for that's outweighing my problems. So I fix my eyes not on what is seen, but is unseen, because these temporary things are a problem. So I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on the eternal. If you'll give your life to something that matters. So I had depression in 1999, like clinical, like I needed to go to the hospital. I'd never been depressed in my life. I'm sick with depression. I mean, sick with depression. And I told Tammy, I said, I think I need to be checked into a facility. I was that depressed. Still living in Baton Rouge at the time, and we went through 21 days of prayer and fasting at our church. And on the 17th day, I saw the picture of me standing, and I saw what is now our broadcast location. I saw it exactly like we've built it to this day. And life came back in me, listen to me, just because I got a new vision for my life. And I never really saw what was wrong with me. I just had something in my life bigger than that. And some of you guys need that. You've sat in these chairs far too long. It's time for you to get in the game and do something. Go serve somewhere. Park a car, for heaven's sakes. Run a camera. Lead a group. Do something and watch God bring purpose to your life in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this amazing church. And God, only you know what's really going on inside the hearts of every person here today and what they're dealing with and what they're feeling and what they're... Their issues are in their souls. And I pray, God, that today that the stigma, the thing that makes us stay quiet is removed in the name of Jesus. For the problems of isolation and feelings led and comparison and all the lies of the devil broken in Jesus' name off our lives. God, I pray for healing. I pray, God, this message gives somebody the guts to come forward and say, I need some help. I need some help. And God, I pray that you give them a family and your presence and a purpose to live for. Touch them like only you can. With every head bowed before I leave this stage, I always like to give people an opportunity to give their life to Jesus, or if you're already a Christian, to get your life with God right again. So you just know you're just not right. And by the way, here's how you'll know, is you feel the weight. you feel the guilt. Like you feel like you're carrying the load of your life by yourself. Listen to me. You don't have to. Jesus paid it all. And you can give it to him today. And it doesn't mean joining this church. That's a good thing to do. But you can join Jesus today. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you to the front. But if you're here today and say, Chris, I need to get some things right with God. I'm going to give you one opportunity just to let God know right there where you are. If that's you, lift your hand up, put it right back down. Count me in that closing prayer. Yep, all over this room. Literally dozens and dozens of hands. Just lift it high, put it up, put it down. Just let God know. God know. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just scores of hands across this room. Come on, together with one voice, every person in this room, everybody join them to encourage them in this prayer. Say, Jesus, come on, say it out loud. Say, Jesus, I need you. And today, I give my life to you. Forgive me. Today, I'm turning around. I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Number one in my life. Thank you for setting me free. In your name I pray. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise together.